Hello, and welcome to another EG Mental Health podcast with me, Tim Burke, EG's deputy editor. In this discussion, part of a series to mark Mental Health Awareness Week, we explore how companies will manage workplaces and working practices following the coronavirus pandemic. Companies may soon have the chance to reopen offices that have been vacant for weeks. If they want to prioritize the mental well-being of employees during this time, what questions should they be asking? To share their thoughts, I was joined by Dan Roberts, Head of Workspace Consultancy Service at Hollis, Hannah Roman, Head of Human Resources at Bidwell's, and Anna Scally, Director of Workspace at Avison Young. We recorded the following conversation via Teams. Enjoy.
Lockdown is easing slowly, and it feels like companies are tentatively thinking about reopening offices and workplaces, maybe not immediately, but plans are underway for a lot of firms. Now, there are a huge number of questions to answer in that process and different factors to weigh up. But I was hoping that we could start this discussion with a few thoughts from each of you on the steps that owners and occupiers can be taking now as they plan how to prioritize mental health and well-being in the new workplace. And I thought maybe, Hannah, if you could kick us off with some thoughts from your HR seat at Bidwell's, and then Dan and Anna, I'm sure you'll have some thoughts perhaps from within your own firms, but also wider issues going on in the industry as you talk with clients. But maybe Hannah, if you could start us off.
Yeah, so I think our first priority, as soon as we kind of knew that things were going to be starting to lift, is how do people feel about returning? Because it's not just that actually we can return, do people actually want to return? And that's been our main priority, is actually trying to understand how people are feeling, because we were very fortunate that we'd introduced agile working over a year ago. So when we all left to go and work from home, it was absolutely fine. We all just managed to pack up and go. Okay, yes, not everybody's got the equipment at home, so more to do with like seats and that side of things, so your DSE. But we were ready to go with the technology and able to agile work and connect with our teams. So the worry now of going back in is that actually we don't necessarily need to. And obviously we've got a beautiful refurbished office for our head office in Cambridge that we only did 2 years ago, which also uses a lot of hot desking. So that is where people are slightly concerned, because obviously hot desking is a big no-no. Obviously, because we can work from home, should we really be going back into the office right now? And at the moment, we've chosen to make a decision. Actually, we don't need to rush this. We need to do this carefully and get people's views. So we've sent out a questionnaire to actually understand how people feel about coming back. One, can they work from home successfully? Can they do it emotionally? Certainly on where you get your energy from, whether you're an extrovert in that sense. So I am. I absolutely get my energy from everybody else around me. And by not being with my team and not being in the office, Teams chats like this are great using the virtual technology, but I really miss that interaction. And I know there's others that are like that, whereas introverts who get their energy from themselves, they're happy to be on their own and they're happy to work at home. They get so much work done. They're the ones that aren't necessarily saying, let's rush back. So there's so much to take into this. It's the physical building and going back in and how practical that is. And then it's the people's thoughts and worries, concerns about being around people. And again, what's right for people just generally. Again, that those extroverts that necessarily want to go back in straight away because they want to see people still isn't necessarily the right thing to do.
And what kind of split are you seeing in those? You talk about the survey that you carry out to gauge sentiment. What are the messages that you're hearing at the moment about how comfortable or otherwise people feel about the potential return to the office?
So we're split because we have our head office, which is just us. So we can very much control who's going into that. Whereas the majority of our other offices are shared with other businesses. So again, it's easy for us when we can definitely control it. It's a lot harder when there's people that have concerns about going into the office space. Who is the office actually going to, in the entrance, going to make sure that they're wiping down? And we've got to get all those reassurance from the landlords to put people's minds at ease. So we've got more concern from the people going into those other offices than necessarily there is just to our own office block. And then the mix of people up is probably more people are happy to stay at home than there are to come back into the office at this stage. I think because they feel very able to, and it's not they don't want to see their teams, and they do know that actually they are still, they're productive, but actually there's nothing better and quicker than just sitting with your team, being able to hear things, bouncing ideas that you get from being in that office. So as much as we'd love to return to that as quickly as possible, everybody also doesn't want to put the pressure on the NHS. So that is where people are saying, I would love to return, but. It's interesting to see what we've got coming back. And out of all questionnaires that we've ever done within a business, this is the one that the most people have responded to. So it's great to see that everybody has joined and wanted to share their views and opinions.
Dan, these are conversations that will be happening in businesses across the country. What do you see as some of the big questions around well-being that that employers are having to answer at the moment?
Well, I think we touched on it before, Tim, that we were sort of saying that, yeah, as a company, and the latest guidance from the government basically pointing in the direction that people don't have to go back to work and can work from home, then they shouldn't be going back. So I think it is going to be quite some time before a lot of firms go back. For Hollis, we've been, you know, effectively operating over the lockdown so far, and there isn't a need basically for us to go back just yet. So we will be continuing to work from home. We've also done a recent survey of our staff, not only to check how they feel about going back, but just to, you know, check in on how they're doing as well in terms of well-being. And the responses from that has actually been sort of 72% of respondents all said that they quite keen to work from home, you know, a mix of working from home and the office going forward. I think that is going to be the norm moving forward, that more people are going to want a healthier mix of home and office working. In terms of well-being, though, I think some people think that working from home is the sort of be-all and end-all in terms of well-being, because you're saving on the commute time, you've got more flexibility, you can spend time with your kids, but there are negatives to working from home as well. A lot of people do feel isolated and lonely, and, you know, depending on different people's circumstances. And yeah, as sort of Hannah touched on, it does stunt collaboration in the team, really. There is negatives, and I think it's going to be difficult to ever really sort of replace the physical office with a lot of people working from home all the time. As human beings, we need, you know, physical, you know, physical workplace interaction with our colleagues and friends, and just to thrive as human beings, really, which is essential for your well-being.
We talk a lot, and at EG we're writing a lot about how the offices and workplaces will likely differ physically in the coming months, and what people should be prepared for logistically as they return to work. Is there a risk that we overlook the impact on mental well-being of the transition back to the office? Anna, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, we're doing an awful lot of talking with clients at the moment and working and doing sort of journey mapping through the offices to understand where are the touch points, where are the key pinch points, what are the things that influence the number of people that actually can work safely in the office. But at the same time, it's trying to balance it up to make sure that you've created this safe environment for people to come back, but not making it sterile and for people to feel almost afraid to be in that of working environment at the same time and doing the wrong thing. It's trying to find that balance. And yeah, definitely, you know, we're all in a way fortunate to be working in our homes. We've got fantastic stuff that we've been shouting about for the well-being for a long time. We've got our fresh air, we've got our natural daylight, most of us aren't turning our lights on, we've got plants galore. And you know, how do we reflect that and get people to come back into the office as well and create that similar environment, safe environment that we've got at home in the office? So I think it's a really tricky balance that we need to sort of work our way through, and I don't think it's something, fortunately, a lot of the clients we've been talking to, that doesn't seem to be a real need and feeling to rush this. It's more sure. of a let's get this right to understand what we need to do. And I think, you know, and Hannah was saying, you know, about this whole collaboration piece, is then the next, when we get people into the office and you've got some people in the office and you've got some people at home, how do you keep that collaboration and to make sure that people don't feel end up feeling like they're missing out? And that fear comes in as you've got your red team. If people have done the red team, blue team or whatever, that they're having a great time in the office, the blue team are, you know, they've started that chat again and the red team are missing out or vice versa. So it's yeah, interesting times ahead. So
indeed.
Yeah.
You mentioned there the danger of creating an environment in which people almost feel afraid. I was interested from conversations that you all might have had with colleagues or with clients, staff surveys and the like, what might be some of the concerns and anxieties that employees feel affected by as we begin to go through this transition period? What factors here do we see as possibly influencing people's sense of mental well-being?
Once you get past the traveling to the office piece, particularly those that are based in London, I think it's been an interesting shift from people being to from moving from selfishness to sort of how can my actions influence and impact others. I think that's been a very interesting thing about this whole thing, and maybe that is the fears of if I do something wrong in the office, yeah, how's that going to impact other people? I don't know, Hannah, I mean, whether that's been the same sort of input and feedback you've had.
Yeah, I think it is. You're right, everybody has become a lot more less selfish. They're thinking about others, and actually I could go back into the office, but actually until we actually have all this testing, am I actually safe? We've had a number of people that have been tested because their partners are key workers, and they actually do have coronavirus. So they're not displaying any symptoms. So they've been saying, well, I'm really concerned. I might not even know, and I'm bringing something in that might make somebody sick, or they might take it back to their families. And there's still so much unknown about this that people are just worried for everybody. And then you also have the people saying about, should we be supplying masks if we are going to go back into the office? Well, then which masks do you supply? And I've certainly noticed the difference of going to a supermarket, people wearing masks believe that they're almost untouchable and able to be closer to people because they've got a mask on. And people are saying, well, is that going to be the case? If everybody's wearing a mask in the office, are we going to stop the 2 meter distancing? So there's just so much that are going through people's minds, because you think, okay, well, we've overcome, we can have one way around offices and making sure, almost like the supermarkets, that you have certain ways and we can put all that guidance out beforehand. But each time you think of something, something else comes up, and it's just trying to alleviate people's worries and concerns. And I think it's still too difficult to do because there's just too much unknown.
Yeah, I think as well, the latest government guidance says that, you know, a risk assessment, a detailed risk assessment has to be done before, you know, returning to the workplace, because every workplace is different and operates differently. And it also sort of says that employees have to be involved in that process, as well as, you know, the management, because they're probably best placed to spot the, you know, the risks in the workplace, which I think is a really good idea. And it also has to be shared, that risk assessment has to be shared with the workforce. So hopefully that will, you know, if involvement in that process and having the information shared with them will help staff returning feel a bit more at ease, hopefully, which will obviously help with their well-being.
I thought it was encouraging too that in those government guidelines we had the importance of employers looking after staff's mental health singled out as an area of focus. Is that important for this to be made part of the message that comes right from government as we move through what's bound to be a challenging period on so many fronts?
Absolutely. I mean, it's so important that we allow, and that's so much about the well-being that we've been talking about, is giving people choice. And you can talk about the design in the office, and well-being design in the office is all about agile working and giving people choice. And this is giving people choice and respecting that choice as well. At Avis and Young, we've been given the option and the choice that we don't need to return to our office until the end of the year, which is fantastic. And it's there, and we understand that. And it's very much, yes, understanding that everybody is different and everybody will react to this, and mental health is an absolutely key part of that risk assessment before people come back to work, deciding they want to or whether they are ready to come back to the workplace.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic that the government actually did put it out there and actually showed that it is something that people should be, because you can get so caught up in the, oh, I need to make sure I've got hand wipes and sanitizer and everything else. And actually, probably the key thing in all of this actually has been people's mental health, because I think people have struggled. And whether it's just not even seeing family, there's so many things to it that's affected people's mental health. And this is going to continue. So I think it's great that the government have actually said that and are given some guidance as well to help people that wouldn't necessarily be thinking about that. Not everybody has a well-being team or a team behind them that can help think about those things, because they're a small company and they're maybe having to really work quite hard and covering all the bases at the moment. So I think it really helps.
Hannah, at Bidwell's, how has this period changed perhaps the focus or the functioning of the well-being team?
I think it's proved how important it is. So we've made sure that actually it's something that's considered for each week, for communication and for reaching out, helping people. So if anything, it's brought it more where I think we probably sent a message or did something once a month. This has become more of a weekly initiative that we've got to check on people's well-being. It's people could not speak to somebody for weeks, and again, we just don't know what everybody's home life situation is. People that are living on their own, so they're living on their own, working on their own. If they're not in team meetings all the time, it's so important that we are doing initiatives that might include everybody. Not everybody's going to want to join a quiz. Not everybody's going to want to join a fitness class or whatever. So there's just so many different things that you've got to think about covering enough people and ensuring that everybody is included during this time. But it's great that we do actually have a wellbeing program. So I'm pleased that we do actually have that in place, because we're again set up ready to go for something like this.
Does it feel as though there are lessons that you'll have learned from this period that stick with that function long after we eventually move back into offices and have whatever the new normal looks like?
Yeah, I think so. There's always learnings from everything that we do in life, but I think it's made it even more apparent that actually everybody's so different. Like that's nothing new, but you just learn that how different people's lives are, because again, we've all been welcomed into people's lives. We've all been in everybody's house. Yeah. During this time by these chats, So you've learned so much more about people that you might not have necessarily learned about them before that, because some people don't always share that. And I think it just makes it so clear that not one size fits all when you're doing these wellbeing programs. Not everybody is about fitness. Not everybody is worrying about their finances. Everybody is just so different of what their priorities are for their wellbeing. And I think you have to make sure that you are covering all aspects around a wellbeing program to make sure that it doesn't just focus. We've heavily focused on mental wellbeing because we felt that was the first thing that we should be doing when we kicked off a program. But it has just highlighted that you need to make sure you cover all aspects. So yeah, lots of learnings to take from this.
Definitely. Will the continued social distancing, other physical changes that we might see in the workplace over the coming months, do you think those will change some of the wellbeing initiatives that we run in our workplaces? Might there be areas where we have to think more creatively in order to keep a focus on this when our workplaces have physically altered over a period?
I think it's helped in some ways, the fact that we've always, so for yoga, we put yoga into all of our offices. We made sure we had somebody that could do it in those offices. If anything, it's taught us now there's no reason why we can't do everything virtual and give everything to everybody. So we could actually hold virtual yoga classes. So where it's kind of concerned me, I'm like, oh, we're not going to be able to do our, we're going to have to be so far apart to do our yoga classes in the building. But actually, why can't we do it virtually? Sure. And it just gives us more of an option of actually when we do it, because certainly for me, I was never able to do the 9 o'clock ones because I drop off my children at school. So it never worked for me, but we can probably hold more because we're not that person that's doing the yoga actually will be able to hold some more from their house and do different things and webinars and training courses. We all drove to all our other offices. We have keeping in touch meetings in each of our offices every month, and I couldn't make it to all of them because that would just mean I was always on the road. So it's been really powerful being able to join those now. So there's so many things that actually I was worried that it would really stop the wellbeing side and limit it because we haven't got that personal touch. But actually, to me, it's opened up how we can actually do things differently. Yes, I do think there will be the opportunities of where you'd gather and meet more. I think those are going to be harder, and that might stop it. So it's not so fluid always on these sort of calls, is it?
Sure.
Being around people. But yeah, I think in some ways it might help the wellbeing programs.
That's really great to think that there would be a silver lining there like that. Dan, do you think that in the longer term, we might see the experiences of businesses that are moving through this crisis reshape the ways in which we manage, plan, run buildings for well-being, both physical and mental?
Yeah, definitely. I think in terms of a sort of office design point of view, I think this whole experience has probably shown us that we need to look after our people and our planet. And I think that will be reflected going forward, you know, for the long term. I think environmental accreditation, you know, sustainability accreditation schemes have been around for a while. Things like well building certification have slowly been picking up, you know, popularity over the few years. A lot of schemes, they get sort of value engineered out of at the last minute because, you know, people think, well, I could save £50,000 if we don't do that. So, but I think going forward, I think it's going to become the norm that people spend money on, you know, the majority of fit outs. People will be accepting that they need to get an accreditation for things like well, because I mean, that focuses on, you know, mental health, air, nourishment, you know, water, everything, all the quality things that, you know, that look after people's well-being as well as the planet. So I think that's one element. As we've mentioned, social distancing, I think that's going to be around in some form for the long term as well. Maybe it will be just, you know, desks spread slightly further apart. I'm sure it won't be 2 meters forever, but I think that it will definitely reduce, you know, occupancy rates for floor plates. And I think also people will invest more going forward in state-of-the-art collaboration spaces. With more people working from home more regularly, I think they'll want to improve, you know, collaboration between those in the office and those working from home. So technology will obviously support that with, you know, it could be huge, great video walls, you know, things like that. I think technology, and that's obviously supported by seamless connectivity, which is, you know, we've all seen that that's paramount. Working from home, if your internet's no good and you're having to turn your kids' tablets off like you have been doing there before the call, then, you know, it's a risk to your business continuity, isn't it? So there will be, technology will be invested heavily. I think technology will go, you know, towards touchless technology as well. So you can control things from your own iPhone, so you're not having to press buttons on large screens or share remote controls and things like that. Door entry and exit will all be all automated. So yeah, I think touching of surfaces will be designed out, as will materials. I think they'll be selected more carefully to, you know, have self-cleaning carpets and, you know, things that can allow to be cleaned much more thoroughly than before. So yeah, that's just a few things that I think it's going to shape going forward.
I think definitely from a landlord's point of view, I mean, there's going to be much more emphasis from sort of tenants coming in and people looking at the building, that is this building going to be healthy for my staff, you know? And it very much starts from, as we said before, you know, we were all sitting in our beautifully fresh aired ventilated houses, and there's going to be an awful lot more emphasis around that, a lot more open space for the collaboration, and how I think buildings need to look at. And I think one of the things is very interesting when you start to look at the returning to the workplace now is, how do I get into my building? I finally got there, I've traveled safely, but I actually work on the 30th floor of this building, and how am I going to get to my floor? And, you know, are lifts going to need to become bigger? Are we going to have more staircases? Or how are we going to manage that going forward? And that's definitely going to have to come into office design to make people, it goes back to people feeling safe and comfortable. And again, you know, I was thinking about, you know, the returning to the workplace. Great. I've opened my 30th floor. I've spent an hour getting into the lift up to the 30th floor. I'm finally here in my desk that's 2 meters away from everybody else. But actually, I'd quite like to go back out and get a cup of coffee. Have I got the energy, and do I want to do that? And how do we build that into now and then into the future as well? So there's going to be a huge, it's going to be a huge sort of looking at how do buildings operate and how do I get there? I think that's going to be a big change from desks. I mean, why do you need a desk in the office in the future when I can do my work at a desk in my house? And it will be, as Dan was saying, a lot of collaborative space and a lot more open space. But then what are the knock-on effects on acoustics? You know, we talk a lot about well-being and acoustics in our office and creating busy spaces and quiet spaces. If everywhere is collaborative, how does that impact on our well-being going forward? So I think it's going to be working out how we implement those different sort of working spaces within the workspace, but that aren't your traditional desk. It's what's going to entice me to come back into the office. Why do I need to come into the office? So, but yes, let's get to the office floor first.
Let me ask each of you for a final thought as we wrap up here. As we're heading towards a period of great change, I was wondering if you could each outline maybe just one opportunity that you would really like to see real estate as an industry grasp in terms of its focus on well-being as we shape something of a new normal for what our workplaces look like and how we use them. Anna, I wonder if I could ask you to start us off there.
I think, and it goes back to, I think we've got this amazing opportunity to look at what are the things that we love in our home. I've banged on about it, our fresh air, our natural light, our space, our greenery. I haven't even talked about greenery, you know, and biophilia and implementing that much more into the office. They are all things that have been shown to improve our well-being in the workplace and our productivity in the workplace. So this is our opportunity to really understand that. We've seen it working whilst we've been at home, so let's make sure we implement it within the workspace.
Great. Hannah, some final thoughts from you?
I think it's around probably hours of work. I don't think there should be the 9 to 5 anymore. I think actually this has proved that people can have a better work-life balance. And yes, great to be going to the office, but do people have to be in at 9 o'clock again? Just think about traffic, think about pollution, and just, do you have to have a whole day in the office? I think there's so much thought around time and actually how we use it, because we've all proved that we can actually do a bit of homeschooling at 10 o'clock. 11 o'clock, we've done a call with our team. We've done other work. It's just, I think there's different ways that we can work, and I'd really like us to look at that going forward, and using the spaces that we have around us to use them better, and actually can we collaborate in different spaces and at different times.
And Dan, what opportunities would you like to see real estate grasping here?
Well, I think it's going to be an interesting time. I think relationships between both landlords and tenants will need to change. It will need to become more a sort of partnership rather than a sort of the landlord's in charge and you'll do what they say type relationship. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see the changes in the office mindset. Previously, it's been, you know, if you want your career to progress and you want to be seen to be a hard worker, you need to be at your desk all the time. When the, you know, restrictions are being lifted, it's going to be interesting to see how that mindset changes as to, you know, you're not going to have to be visible at your desk between set hours. And if you can stay at home, you should be staying at home to work. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to move away from that previous mindset and see what the new looks like in terms of how people judge people for their, you know, their working hours and their sort of outlook on the working day, really.
That's great. Well, look, that just leaves me to say, Dan, Hannah, Anna, thank you all so much for sharing your thoughts. I'm wishing you all and your colleagues the best of luck on this journey that we're on. But thank you for making time to be here with EG today. And thank you at home as well for listening.